Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Joining me now, he's as cool as the underside of the pillow. That's right. Lifted that one from Stewart.
Yeah, baby.
The late, great Stewart Scott from ESPN, baby. He's a Dodger fan, and the Dodgers are making a little bit of a run right now.
Yes, they are. So they're 2 games back in first place.
4 games under 500.
Yeah, imagine that.
In June. What the hell? But he's a chef, right? He's a hippie.
And yes.
And he lives in North Dakota.
Yes.
Get your Ouija board out to figure that one. His name is Paul Kimball Holmes. We know him as Kim. He's the All Marine Radio chef, and he joins the program this morning. Kim, chef, welcome. Actually, the Dodgers are over 500, just for the record. They are 35-32. They're 2.5 games out of first place behind the Arizona Diamondbacks. So in the National League Western Division. So so how's your week? How are you been? How's life?
Just great. Just enjoying myself, the weather. Little spotty rain here and there, but the farmers love it.
Yeah.
So I love it.
But that's how it goes That's how it goes in the upper Midwest, and so you love that. That's why you live there. Keeps the riffraff out in the winter. Anything?
It's almost written to keep me out in the winter.
It does. It does. That's why we live here, because it keeps the riffraff out. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So you have a son. You have a daughter, okay? You have a daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's competing in a state track meet.
Yeah.
And she gets beat by a transgender athlete.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
I don't care.
Okay. All right. It's becoming a bit of a controversy as there's more and more quote unquote transgender young people, and you're seeing parents get upset saying this isn't fair. You know, I get the whole thing, and I don't begrudge him of any of it, but my daughter's worked this in the state track championship in Connecticut, where somebody won the 100 and 200 set state records in both events, and is a transgender student, it's becoming a bit of a controversy. Look, I don't begrudge, you know, the quotes are, I don't begrudge them anything. I wish them nothing but the best, but they have an advantage that my daughter simply doesn't have. And I've watched my daughter work her entire high school career now to finish second to a boy. And I don't...
It's not right. I agree.
And I don't think it's right.
I don't think it's right. Yeah. I think they should have their own division.
All the track coaches just groaned. So we have boys and girls, and then we have a transgender...
Transgender team.
Oh, man.
That's a fair way to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to say this was an issue a year ago when I remember in the spring, I want to say in Texas, that a transgender girl was wrestling and thumping everybody's ass. And then the parents were like, time out. You know, my daughter... She's a great wrestler. She just got smoked. And she's not going to be able to compete for what we thought would be a state championship because she got beat by a transgender girl. I mean, so I don't know. It's an interesting.
That's a really tough one.
Yeah, because you don't want to do anybody harm, right?
No.
But
and you want people to live their lives,
right?
They are who they are, and God bless them. But
I'm not a hater.
That's a great question, Mac, and I wouldn't want to be the one that had to answer it.
Yeah, what do you do? So I have to look at little Johnny and say, I'm sorry, bud, you didn't win.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, it wouldn't be Johnny. That would be something. Transgender guy smokes everybody's ass. That would be something, okay? But it'd be transgender girl, and I'd have to look at Catherine and say, sorry, baby. Wasn't meant to be. It's okay. And she's crying. You know how girls are. Oh, my God. So, anyway. All right.
That's tough.
Yeah. What do you do?
I don't know that I would be happy as a parent, but God, that's the world we live in. That's all I can say.
Yeah, little Kimmy. Little Kimmy sobbing on her dad's shoulder.
Yeah. I told you should have been a boy. No, I wouldn't say that. But
that, no.
I'm just being silly. Yeah.
It's hard because I don't think you want to be, right? You have two voices talking to you. I don't want to be that guy. But
no.
My daughter, I watched my daughter work her whole life, right? She should have been the Connecticut State 100 champion, and she's worked so hard for that. And she gets beat by a sophomore guy or transgender, female. And all that work she doesn't get rewarded for it. You can hear that parent. It's not right. How does my daughter compete with her? And I don't have any, there's not an ill bone in my body. But my daughter, she's just a girl. So, that's rough. I made some great, grilled chicken last night, just so you know.
Good.
Yeah. And, I did something that I normally don't do, which is cook the chicken first and then sauce it later. Normally, I sauce it, and because the incredible green egg, there's such a vertical separation between the charcoal and what you're cooking, it's very difficult to burn it. I've never burned anything.
You're cooking slower.
Right. Right, so that separation saved. But so mindful of your admonition about sauce and sugar creating char marks on food, I cooked it first and then I lathered it with sauce. It was muy delicioso. Also, one other thing, chicken, when you pay attention to it, it's really barbecue chicken, really different to eat it when it's juicy and good and not overcooked and burnt.
I tell you what, it's an art form to not overcook chicken because it cooks a lot faster than beef,
right?
And you have to pay attention. But when you get a piece of chicken and it's juicy, it rocks the world.
It was delicious. And you're right, it is. You got to stand there and pay attention, or you got to have a digital meat thermometer. But the secret is once you get the outside seared. The secret is indirect heat and slow cook it. Right?
Yes.
So if you're going to throw it on and it's going to take 5 minutes, good luck. Right? If you give yourself about 20 minutes to do the whole thing, then, let me just tell you something else. The green egg.
That's a monster. That's the ultimate cooking machine.
The more I learn how to use it, the better it is. And I will tell you this.
Who turned you on to the green egg?
The maestro himself.
You're damn right. I tell you. I'm so happy that you have it down with that
Oh, it's awesome. And let me tell you, one of the best things about it.
To look at.
Yeah, it's a pretty grill. Cause it's green and it looks like an egg and it's got this like, it's got like dimples on the exterior like a golf ball.
Yes.
But it's elongated like an egg. So if you can imagine a green golf ball dimpled up egg and then with the, in this kind of frame with wooden sides on it, very yeah. cool. But the other thing I would tell you, it's a charcoal grill. But when you're done grilling and you close the top and you close the bottom vents, that yeah. stuff goes out. And I would tell you that you use 50% of that charcoal the next time you grill.
Yes. Okay.
It's incredibly efficient. Incredibly
how
efficient.
How many of your listeners have bought green eggs?
I don't know, but I told the story of Kim was with me when the guy, his name's Greg Schneider. I don't know if he still owns it. Does he still own Dakota TV and Appliance?
Yes, but he's there. His father is still going.
His dad was there, right? Awesome stuff. And his sons are in the business.
Greg's boys run the business right. Do a fabulous. Yeah.
And Greg is he's a tough guy. So he calls up and he says, "Hey, could you come do the program here? I'm having a big grill thing." And I said, "Absolutely, man, you bet." So Kim had talked to me about the green egg, and the green egg dude was there. So we have the green yeah. egg guy. So we're sitting in Dakota TV and Appliance, Kim and I have done this our shows all over the place. We've done them in Cabela's, we've done them at the Frozen Four, different places in Denver. I mean, the show would move around. So anyway, so we're talking green egg. And, so I was coaching baseball. And so we do the show and that was Friday. I had a doubleheader on Saturday. So late in the day, I swung by there.
Yeah.
Cause the guy, so I was curious to see how they had done. And I wanted to show Susan what the green egg looked like. And so I show up and the guy sees me and goes, "Man, we have never ever had an event like this." I said, "What happened?"
Yeah.
He said, "Normally we'll sell somewhere between 3 and 5 green eggs when I do this. We yeah. sold, I want to say he said we sold 18.
Yeah, it was just a shade under 20.
Yeah, I said,
I don't think it was 20, Mac.
No.
It was awfully close yeah. to that.
And so I said, "Yo, baby, Mac Talk, why do you doubt the power of Mac Talk?"
Yeah.
And he starts laughing, and he goes, "I won't anymore, man." He said, "I crushed it." He said, "I'll give you one of these things at cost." So then I went home and I got Susan, because you know, cost was still $400, I think. I think they retail?
Yeah, that was half. Right?
Yeah, they retailed for like between 6 and 8, I think.
Yeah, depending on the size.
Right. So anyway, so I go get Susan, because we've been looking for a grill for a while, but this was still a little bit of money. And so we go back there, and, you know, we talk to the guy, blah, 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 blah. And he says, the one that I have, I think I'm looking at it right here for $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think some of it is what you drop it into. But anyway,
yeah.
So Susan checks it out, and so we buy it, and he says, "Hey man, look, I'll give you charcoal. I'll give you a couple bags of charcoal. I'll bring it over to the house. I'll set it up for you. I'll show you how to do it." I was like, "Whoa." And the guy did good that weekend, right? And,
yeah, he rocked it.
And then Kim kind of taught me how to do it. It comes with a DVD and all that, but it is very forget. It's a slow cooking grill, and a lot of things that you do stupidly when you grill, the green egg makes it more difficult to do those things. So, yeah, so that was my, my green egg story. But, yeah, no, it is interesting. Chicken, an unburned chicken is a unique thing. So anyway, yeah. Funny.
Tell everybody how much that sucker weighs.
Oh my God. If you try to move this thing, man, you better have two people because otherwise you're not moving it. I don't know how much it weighs. I would say, you know.
It's over 200 pounds.
You think?
I think so. And that the you've got the large size, the big
one. I got the big one. Not the hibachi.
The insulation in that, folks, is the same, and it's about 3-4 inch insulation. And it's the same stuff they put on the front of the shuttle, the space shuttle. I mean, it's intense. It holds heat, you know. I mean, that's why you don't need much charcoal or whatever, wood chips, because they just hold their heat. It's a beautiful piece of equipment.
Yeah, like I said, the vertical, it keeps you from burning. Even so when you're grilling and the heat is what, two, three inches below what you're grilling, and you have juices drip down in there. Well, that space is probably 6 inches in the green egg.
Yes.
And so even if there is some flame, it tends not, most of the time, unless you're starting a 3-alarm fire, it doesn't impact what you're serving. So that's all. That's always good. So no, I'm a fan.
And with that green egg, going full tilt boogie, you can put your arms around it, and it's just nice.
Yeah, it's not.
And don't burn yourself on the lid.
No.
It's a remarkable piece of equipment.
Yeah, no, it's. I'll tell you what, it's awesome. And then, but again, you know, just learning, like you said, it was the juiciest chicken I've ever grilled. And I paid special attention to, you know, to not sauce it, because I've never not done it. Normally, like after it cooks a little bit, I'll start putting sauce on. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And it was delicious. And yeah, it was just normal. It was nothing special. It was just chicken, barbecue chicken and a rice dish that my mom makes. It's a cup of rice, a can of consomme, and a half a stick of butter. And you boil, you bring it to a boil, and then you simmer it for 45 minutes. And, it's a family favorite, delicious. And then, some corn and salad. And, great summer meal, not too heavy. And, from, the incredible green egg. So,
And the green egg, folks, is very sexy.
It's cool.
Very
it is cool.
Sexy. And if you're in the cooking, it's not hard to be around that without wearing a cup. Keep your boner down.
Yeah. Really?
Oh yeah. I'm gonna get another grill next year. And that's where I'm gonna go.
Oh, really? Let me tell you, and you can buy some pretty sexy, things to drop the egg into as well. Yeah. I mean, they make these tables, that you drop it into, and they're all made out of wood and they're beautiful. And the reason they can do it is the way it's constructed that it doesn't get hot, as Kim said. I mean, it's so thick. It doesn't get hot. And so you see these beautiful wooden devices that you drop this thing into. It's ginormous. And so they have to be pretty big to hold it. But they're beautiful. And
got side tables. Yeah. Got side tables.
Cabinets.
You have to have side tables.
Yeah, to do your work, man. Come on.
Put your work. Do your work.
Yeah.
That's the positive thing about a gas grill.
Right.
Most of them have side tables, and that's very cool.
Right.
But there's nothing like the Big Green Egg.
The Big Green Egg. Here's an email question. Mac, if you haven't covered this before, my wife grew up eating cauliflower. I'm not a big fan of it. Could the chef give me a way to prepare it both on the stove and on the grill to make it taste better? Because most of the time when I eat it, it's too hard and it sucks.
Yeah.
Kim, can you rescue them?
I can. There's two ways to cook it. And my favorite way is I take a whole head of cauliflower. I take that stem and the leaves off, and it's just one big piece. And then I'll take that, and I'll steam it in chicken stock. And then I don't want to, you want to cook it just so it's fork tender, but not mushy. It still has a little al dente, a little tooth to it. But you don't want it crunchy. You just want it just about soft.
Medium.
And medium. Because we're going to take that out, sit it in a shaping dish that's going to go into the oven, and then with that liquid, and you don't need a lot of chicken stock, maybe, an inch. Inch and a half of chicken stock, and that's the steaming liquid, and it's got a little cauliflower flavor in it, and then you take some flour, and you make a roux, okay, and if you want to just use Wondra, that's the easiest way to do it, and you whip that Wondra into the chicken stock until it gets the desired thickness you want. You don't want it too runny, and you don't want it, definitely don't want it too thick. You want it to be able to, and what we're going to do is that it'll cling to the cauliflower head that's in the chafing dish. Now, then you take a pint of cream, heavy whipping cream, when you get it to the right thickness. And then you whisk that in, and you can whisk it in, and then once that's incorporated, what I do is I'll take that and I'll pour it all over the cauliflower head. And then I take breadcrumbs, that have been crunched up, and you want to use a good bread. You don't want to buy those breadcrumbs in the can. You want to make your please. And then you sprinkle that all over the top and kind of pat it in and get it all over the top. Then you put a little bit of grated Parmesan cheese over it, put it in the oven, bake it for, half an hour, 20 minutes, it's good, until it all, the crust forms, and at a 350 degrees for 20 minutes. It depends on how large your cauliflower head is. And then that is, you pull it out and you serve it with anything you want. Chicken, beef, it's great with beef and chicken. And that kind of, there's your veggie, and it's kind of, you've got this bechamel sauce, this sauce that is all around, and you can pour that, and that's delicious. And then you cut like pie pieces out of the cauliflower head and serve it. and then take a big soaking spoon and ladle some of that sauce on your cauliflower.
Nice.
Now, on a grill,
yeah.
On a grill, you serve it with, you take it raw.
Okay.
And you make, you take, you know, take out the stem and the leaves, and then you slice it like a loaf of bread. And it's got to be a sharp knife.
Okay.
And be careful not to cut yourself. And you slice it in 1-inch slices. That's 1 inch. And then you put them in a baking sheet, and you cover them with olive oil, salt, and pepper, and you can slap those right on the grill. And wow. Then you get your grill marks, and then you flip it over, and if you have some other kind of like Italian herbs, you put your olive, rub the slices with olive oil,
mm-hmm.
and then season it whatever you want, but always salt and pepper, and then whatever garlic, salt, or onion powder, garlic powder, something, if that's what you want.
Is there a way to tell while you're grilling? Do you just have to sample while you're grilling? I mean, like asparagus, I have some experience and I kind of know. Am I going to see the change in color? Am I going to, if I'm doing it with cauliflower?
You take a knife, a paring knife, or maybe a longer knife because you're over the fire. It's not high heat now, folks. It's not high heat. You want to get and it cooks pretty quick. So the knife goes in easy. Not mushy. You don't want to get it mushy and overcook it, and you don't want to burn it. But, that's also a great side dish, with potato salad or corn, any kind of summer vegetable if you're on the grill. That's, I've done it both ways. At the Sanders, when cauliflower was the vegetable, I would do maybe four heads, big heads of cauliflower a night because people went just crazy over it. I'd do like six of them on a buffet.
The most often way that I've seen cauliflower prepared is like with some kind of Parmesan cheese or something like that. Is that my memory? Is that my mind playing tricks on me, or is that a common way that you see cauliflower prepared?
Yes, you you can cut it up into little flowerettes,
right?
And you you can boil it or steam it. I prefer steaming, not just drop them in a pot of boiling water, but steaming it, and then when you drain it, then you sprinkle it when it's still hot with salt, pepper, and Parmesan cheese all over, and then you serve it that way with a little butter if you want, or olive oil, whichever you prefer. But yes, that's a great way to do it with Parmesan, salt and pepper, and boiling. You just put their little flowerettes. Some are big, some aren't so big. But you don't want them too small. So those are the three ways, that I would think he would, start liking cauliflower again.
All right. My guest obviously is Allmarine Radio Head Chef. We were talking about the incredible green egg that supplied with a great dish last night. Another email. Mac, I heard a couple weeks ago you guys talking about buying better beef is the secret to grilling better steaks. How much would the chef say is reasonable to spend on what he would call better? I heard you say that you spent over $20 a pound That seems a little high to me. What does he say? I'll tell you what I did, and I've never done this in my life. Bought two steaks, each probably about a pound. And, but I can't eat that in a meal. And they don't make, they weren't cutting them smaller. And so so there's two meals out of it. And let me just tell you, it's as good the second time as it was the first. The first time I did this, I didn't eat the steak for the second piece for about a week. And my first thought was, well, I'll just throw it in the microwave and give it to Jack and Joe because it's probably not great. So I warm it up and I said, well, let me just sample it before I give it to the dogs. Needless to say, neither one of those two jackasses tasted that steak, okay, the second time. It was delicious, and I heated it up in the micro, which is not a thing you should do with a quality piece of meat. But I was going to give it to the dogs. It was delicious the second time. So it's essentially a $10 steak for me, two $10 steaks. And let me just tell you, you can't cut a corner. When you start with caca, you can dress it up and you can do it as best as you can with not very good cuts of meat. But when you start with something really good, it's pretty good. So Kim, what would you say? I'm curious.
I'd say that if you cook two steaks and you can only eat one,
right.
Number one, I would just cook one steak, put the other one in the fridge, and you got a week to cook the other one.
Right.
But however, you cook them both,
right.
And that's fine. As long as you don't overcook it to begin with, and then when you heat it up in the microwave, you only need 1 minute to warm it through. Maybe 2 minutes, depending on the thickness. But you cook it any longer in the microwave, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes, you're going to get it. You might as well put it on your shoe or right. Give it to Jack and Jill. But if you don't over-microwave it, it's fantastic. And you were right. You know, you must have cooked it, not overheated it.
No,
it gets plenty hot. You just want to take the chill out of it and you don't want to damage the juices that are still left in there
right.
And drying up. So it's obvious, you did it.
Well, you know what I've done? When we do eat those pieces of meat, I'll re-grill them. What I'll do is I'll start the grill, and I don't need a lot of charcoal, but I only put it over indirect heat, right?
Yeah.
I'll a few minutes on each side in there, and I'll reinsert the thermometer so I can watch. And let me tell you, it's as good the second time. Honestly, it is as good the second time as it is the first time. Breaking news right now. A judge has sent Paul Manafort to jail pending his trial. So, film at 11, but that's breaking news right now. We're talking grilling and in particular. So go back to the question. For a pound of steak, okay, what would you pay? If I go on Omaha Steaks,
you could pay anywhere from probably 10 to 20 pounds, whether you want choice, whether you want choice or prime.
Okay.
Now, prime means it's more marbling. That's those white little pieces of fat in the tissue when you see a raw steak. And that melts and adds to the tenderness and juiciness of the steak.
Okay, listen to this. I'm on the Omaha Steaks, which Kim, yes or no, good, renowned, pretty reputable internet seller of beef and chicken and whatnot. Yes.
Pork, yes.
Okay. This is their best sellers, ribeye, 8 ounce, $17.50 each. 21-day age to maximum tenderness, hand-carved from grain-fed beef rib, flash-frozen and individually sealed to perfection, good marbling for rich ribeye flavor, cut to include only the heart of the ribeye. I mean, if I'm paying 20 for a 1 pound steak and they're paying $17.50 for 8 ounce ribeye, I mean, I'm in the Omaha steak, circle. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I don't feel as bad.
No, you're doing better than Omaha.
And I really don't feel bad when I eat it.
No, you know, should you? If the meat is tender and it's prime, or good choice meat that doesn't have any gristle.
Or gristle.
Yeah, or gristle.
Either
yeah.
One of them.
I personally love, the fat, on a grill. Because it gets all charred and stuff.
But aren't we not supposed to love the fat? I mean, because we're so, you know, lean beef and all that. I see a good piece of fat on either lamb or steak. That's the first thing that goes down my throat.
And you know who taught me how to eat fat? My grandmother, the cookbook. She loved, you know, like a ribeye, and she would eat the fat, and my mother's always said, "Don't eat the fat; it's bad for you." I said, "Only eat the fat. I'm eating the fat. You deal with her." Oh, okay.
That's funny. No, so again, as So I don't. I mean, obviously, your local butcher may have deals, but all I did was I walked into this place called it's called the Butchery in Newport Beach, and it's pretty swanky. And I'm not a Newport Beach. Let me just tell you, Orange County is the epicenter of plastic surgery, and it's just god awful. I wound up in a bar last Saturday afternoon, meeting a friend. And it was so stupid. I was almost embarrassed for the people. It's 60-year-old men acting like they're 30 at a bar. Like, what are you guys doing? And for all you women out there, do not do anything to your lips. It looks horrendous. Okay? You know what? Just your God's creation. Let it go. Okay? All right? And if you're above the age of 70, you don't have to shove it all out in public, okay? All right? We know that you can get breast augmentation done. There's no need to shove your 70-plus. Kim, it was like, am I in outer space now? Where am I? It's just the worst.
Where am I?
Where am I? What happened? No, and no wonder I don't come to these places. It was just ridiculous. But anyway, so it's a pretty nice butcher shop. So Patrick and I rolled in there, and so I've never paid that much for a steak in my life. You know, only time I ever paid that much for a steak. I mean, hell, I would get a whole meal for that price at Kim's joint, right? And so so I thought, well, what the hell? I wonder what it tastes like. And so I mean, I think I'm in the ballpark that's being for high quality. For high quality ribeye steak, you know, $20 a pound seems reasonable. What do you pay? I don't mean commercially. Now, when you go buy it, what do you pay when you buy a ribeye steak for something good?
When I buy it's around $12 a pound here.
$12 a pound, and that's at L&M
at our butcher shop, you know, at Laddie's. But now, what I want to say is I order when I want a real high end steak that I eat maybe once a year for sure in the summer, and then I order, and you have to buy two of these porterhouses, and they're like 36 ounces and
36 ounces
Yeah, well, it's got a filet and a New York strip on the other side of the bone, a filet on one side of the bone. It's 2 inches thick.
Yeah. So that feeds what, like 17 people?
Yeah, exactly. and I'll, or when I have guests, and we don't have a lot of guests, but like when family comes in and there's six of us, I'll call Pat LaFrieda. Pat, capital L-A, capital F-R-I-E-D-A. Pat LaFrieda Meats. They're out of New Jersey. And when you order steak from them, or steaks, and they have ribeyes, they're all good. Filets. And they do pork and lamb and stuff like that. But they take the order on the phone. They send it down to the, where they process their meat. It's cut when the order comes in to your specifications. And then they wrap it, ship it, and you get it the next day fresh. They don't freeze it. So you go to the butcher shop, and that's the way to do it. But I definitely can't afford to do this more than once or twice a year. And I will do this, but the reason I do it is it's prime meat. The marbling is magnificent in there, and you know, I sear it and then indirect heat it, and it comes out medium rare and juicy, and oh my God, and you know, we'll freeze one. Beth has one of those cryovac machines that sucks the air out of everything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so we'll take the other one.
Like they did with Ted Williams.
Yes. Yeah. Cryogenics. No. You cryovac it, and then we put it in the freezer, and then we thaw it out in the refrigerator. So it takes a couple of days to thaw out, and you don't want to just slap it on the counter, and it kind of slowly comes back to life, and then I'll slap it on the grill, or I'll cook it on the top of the grill, and get my score marks on the oven, if it's the middle of winter, and then I'll put it in an oven that's set at 250 degrees to 300 degrees, and then let it cook for about 30 minutes on a raised rack. But for grilling, I haven't ever found anything better than that type of cut. You know, I mean, that fresh of meat and fine.
Wow.
But you pay, what the hell was it? Two of them were, $136 or $126, something like that. But I mean, my God. You know, that's two steaks.
But it's getting it shipped overnight, right?
Yes, and it's fresh, and you can, you know, you, to try it once, you get it. But you know, it's all prime.
Just once?
And they dry it, listen to this. Oh. They dry it 21, 50, and 70 days. And it's dry, that means it's hung. All this beef, I've seen pictures of them, and all this beef hanging, marked, labeled, and how old it is, and it shrinks, and the moisture goes out of it, and the meat shrinks at 70 days, it shrinks about 15 to 20%, and so that's why it's so darn expensive. But the flavor is a little more nuttier, and it's rich, and it's so darn tender. It's hard to imagine. The key is don't burn it. Don't
overcook. Oh my God!
It.
Are you kidding me?
And and eat it rare to medium rare.
Well, first of all, I don't think anymore, since you've educated me, there's no reason to burn it. Because, look, all you do is you're searing it, and then you're cooking it on indirect heat. So while you're searing it, you're standing over it watching it. Come on, man.
Yeah.
There's no reason to burn it. And then moving it to indirect heat. And again, if you have Kim's experience, you use your thumb. If you don't, you use a digital meat thermometer. You can buy them for dirt cheap. Father's Day coming up. If you're a tightwad, it's a great Father's Day gift because it's only $40. Okay.
Yeah.
You could buy
your local butcher store. Do not buy frozen meat. You buy fresh. And when I go down to Laddie's, I go in and I say, hey, I want a 6-pound roast. Cut it for me and trim it.
Ooh.
And they'll go in the back, they'll cut it, what part of the prime rib, the center cut or the tail. I go for the center cut, of course. And it comes out, 6.5 pounds. And then I brown it and put the grill marks on it, and then I set it off the side and indirect heat it. And man, I tell you what, it slices up. It's medium rare to rare in the center, and on the ends, it's Beth likes the ends.
Oh, they're the best because they got that crust on the end.
Yeah, that's the point. And I could never keep end pieces in Sanders when I had.
They're the best.
If you weren't there by 6:30 or earlier, there were no end cuts left.
How funny. Let me read you an email here. Mac, did you just say Ted Williams? I will be sending you the bill for the keyboard that I'm replacing after I just spit my coffee on it. Where the hell did that come from? Ted Williams' kid, man. He was going to have him cryogenically frozen. Don't you remember that shit show?
Yeah.
Yes,
I do.
Yeah.
That's why I laughed. I thought, not cryogenic. Cry you back. That was good, Mac. I thought it was anyway.
I thought it too. I thought it was a quality piece of humor. And if you're such an amateur that you can't control what you do with your mouth, then you need to go see a doctor. I'm not paying for your keyboard. You can replace that yourself.
Hey,
yeah. Quit blaming me for your issues.
Take out your wife's hair blower and go
after it. Exactly. And it should be just water anyway. You shouldn't have like a bunch of cream and sugar. It's not healthy. All right, sir. First of all, thank you very much for joining us today. We truly appreciate it. And any big plans for the weekend?
Actually, we're going to go see the Ocean's 8.
Oh.
With the 8 women.
Yes.
That steal $200-300 million in jewelry.
Yeah.
From the Met Gala.
Yep.
In New York City.
I've heard it sucks.
Oh, well, you know, I love the Ocean.
Yeah, no, they're good.
They're fun.
Yeah, they're fun
and
movies.
Funny. And I'm hoping that this is somewhat close to it. I can't imagine it being as good.
Right.
But, you know, I'm a big Kate Blanchett fan. That Australian actress.
Right. Okay, well, look, next week we'll do a movie review. Ocean's 8 coming up next week. All right, sir. Have a good weekend. Good luck.
Thank you. And you, what are you doing this weekend?
It's Father's Day. I'm collecting all the gifts that I'm not going to get.
I know better. You have a happy Father's Day. And any of the brood around, give them my love.
All right. I will. Thank you,
buddy.
You bet.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, that is the one and only P. Kimball Holmes, the All Marine Radio head chef. We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, Michael Musselman. Next. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.